British Sky Broadcasting presents The Meeksville Ghost, the story of how a young man sets out on a quest to find his parents, but ends up befriending the ghost of a Wild West gunfighter, solving a mystery, saving a town, and getting the girl. Audio described by Martin Lachlan on behalf of MCS Agency. Starring Judd Reinhold as Lucius Meeks, Andrew Kovovit as Danny, Leslie Ann Down as Emily, and with Tanya Reichert playing both Kate and Isabel. Music by Alan Darby and Mark Thomas. It is 1876 and the gunslinger Lucius Meeks is in his office and coolly preparing for a duel. With the calm reassurance of a professional killer, he carefully places bullets into the barrel of his revolver. While on the street, a procession of townsfolk with flaming torches is out looking for him. The beautiful Isabel appears in his office doorway, distraught.
No, Lucius, please, no. I'll go with you. Please, I love you. We can leave tonight.
It's too late.
The deeds. Take the deeds. The town can be yours. I'm yours. Just leave Joshua alone.
It's gone too far. He won't back down.
Then you back down.
For an answer, he walks silently past her.
I thought you loved me.
And I always will.
He takes his Stetson and places it firmly on his head, then walks out into the night, leaving Isabel looking bereft and heartbroken. He goes out to confront the lynch mob, headed by Joshua, his rival for control of the town and for Isabel's heart. The two men slowly walk towards each other down the length of the main street. The townsfolk gather around, as grim-faced as the two gunmen, everyone knowing that the fate of their town lies in the outcome of the next few minutes. Joshua and Lucius halt their deathly march, then square up to each other and prepare their guns in their holsters. Lucius is surprised to see Isabel run out to try and stop the killing, and he winces as she throws herself on her knees before Joshua.
No, Isabel.
I'll marry you, just like you always wanted.
Listen, it's too late for that.
We'll start again somewhere.
I've worked too hard to make this town what it is. I can't walk away. Listen to me, you've got to understand. I've got to see this through, or I can never look you in the eyes again.
Then leave it to the law.
What law?
Joshua casts a disdainful look at Lucius, then sets his jaw for action.
Frank, take her.
Go.
Please.
Go, Isabel.
No, please.
Take her, Frank. Get her out of here. Get her out of here. Go.
The two men square up to each other again.
No.
Leave her die, Lucius.
Don't talk. Draw.
Lucius, no!
Isabel rushes out between them and is accidentally shot down. Another bullet finds Joshua and he falls in a heap in the dirt. While Joshua is propped up, dying, an old man examines Isabel's inert form.
She's dead!
No! No!
Lucius bends over Isabel and shouts at Joshua.
I warned you, Carter. You should have listened. Why didn't you listen?
Damn you to hell, Lucius. You'll not walk away from this. I swear by all that's holy, alive or dead, you will know no peace until you have righted the wrong that you've done.
No.
No peace. Lucius. Alive. Or dead.
The curses are Joshua's last words, and he dies, leaving Lucius cradling Isabel's dead body and weeping.
No!
It is the present day, and a motorbike is slowly cruising the wild and deserted prairies of the West. The sun-baked ground raises dust as the bike negotiates the meandering rock-strewn paths. Danny, a handsome young man with tousled hair, and dressed in jeans and a t-shirt, is soaking in the beauty of the vast spaces of the old frontier West, a vista and a way of life unchanged since the lawless days. Although he is traveling light with just a few pieces of luggage, he has the look of a man on a mission with a heavy heart. Suddenly, a woman on horseback bolts out of nowhere and jumps across the track. The bike skids to avoid her, and as it crashes onto a grass bank, Danny is airborne. Somersaulting into the ditch, he lands heavily. Dazed and confused, he sees the uncaring Emily Mix galloping off, and although in pain, he stands and tries to run after her.
Hey! Hey, lady, come back here!
Holding his arm, he hobbles back to the bike, intent on giving chase.
Damn it. Come on. Damn it!
Angry and frustrated, he hits the machine. Later, he is pushing his bike uphill and struggling with the dirt track road and the heat when an old truck rumbles up behind him with the radio blaring. The car pulls up and Kate, a beautiful young girl, leans out.
Having trouble?
No, I love pushing my bike up a steep hill in the blazing sun.
Touchy.
Sorry. It's been a bad day.
Well, maybe I can help. Where are you headed?
Meeksville.
Me too. Look, why not throw your bike in the back and I'll give you a ride?
Yeah, that'd be great.
She helps him load the bike on the back.
You're not from around here?
No, I was raised in California.
Poor you.
Thanks, but I managed.
Kate.
Danny. Daniel Logan.
So, what brings you out here?
Work, family. Well, I'm looking for some anyway.
What, work?
No, family. I work for Diller Incorporated, surveying the old gold mines.
Diller? You work for Diller?
Yeah.
I should have known, of all the low-down dirty... I suppose Emily put you up to this.
Who? Hey, what's the problem?
What's the problem? What? You are! You and your damn company! You think you can waltz right in here and destroy people's lives? Well, I'm not gonna let you! Meeksville was fine until Emily brought in people like you.
What? Wait a minute, that's uncalled for. I mean, what in the hell did I ever do to you? Look, hey, there's no call for that. Hey, watch it!
You're not welcome here, all right? Put that in your survey.
She has a whip.
Watch it!
Snakes get what they deserve around here.
You know what? I'll just walk, okay?
Yeah, damn right you will.
Jeez. Got my head
up. Wait!
Kate pulls away violently, and his bike falls off the truck and into the dirt. He hurls a rock after her, then realizing his plight, he looks despondent. With a deep sigh, he begins the wearisome task of loading his bike one more time. Kate drives on to Meeksville, past the Boot Hill Cemetery and the Welcome to Meeksville sign, which bears the biblical legend, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Her truck pulls into the frontier town of Meeksville, once known as Liberty, but otherwise looking as it did 100 years ago, with the wooden boarded houses and dirt track roads. As she heads for the hotel, her progress is followed keenly by the suspicious gaze of Emily Meeks from the window of her office in the Bank Museum, where she is meeting with her lawyer.
Emily! Emily! Oh, I know it's hard, but without the title deeds, we can't make a sale. Those are the best-looking forgeries I've ever seen. And the beauty of it is, there's no need for anyone to check. They all think you own the land anyway.
Yeah, everyone. Except the Carters.
Then clear them out.
Her lawyer's face turns sour.
You got all the leases covered except the saloon.
I know.
So?
They're being stubborn.
$6 million, Emily, is a lot of money. Your father would have had them out by now.
My father is dead. Thank God.
We'll never get a chance like this again.
I know, but 5 days. I mean, can't you just give me a little more time?
No. Look, it's all set for Sunday morning. Dilla and half the press corps of Texas are coming here to sign the biggest defense contract issued since the war. We can't let anything get in our way. Look, I've done my bit. You got the deeds now. So do yours. Get rid of the Carters. Whatever it takes.
Stone-faced and determined, she hands him his hat.
Get rid of him.
She walks him through the museum, with its thousands of historical exhibits, and out into the street to his Chevrolet truck.
No more loose ends, Emily. Get rid of them.
You can count on it.
Danny turns up, still pushing his bike.
Excuse me. I'd like a word with you. Excuse me, I'd like to talk to you.
Emily walks indoors.
You almost killed me this morning.
What are you talking about?
You know very well what I'm talking about. You and that horse ran me off the road. Lady, are you listening?
Frankly, no.
Well, what I said was that you and your horse ran me off the road, nearly destroyed my bike, and you're damn well gonna pay for it, lady.
She looks disparagingly at him.
Talk to my lawyer.
She hands him a card.
Meeks, Emily Meeks.
She just walks off.
A friendly little town this is.
Emily goes straight to the phone.
Ox, forget the fence. Get over here. Things have changed. And it's gonna take a lot more than a little wire fence to fix them.
Emily catches sight of a photo of herself when she was younger with a baby. Her face softens and she looks rueful. Danny struggles on with his bike down the dusty main street and heads for the hotel. He steps through the swing doors into a cavernous saloon, then saunters through the eerily deserted tables and chairs towards the bar.
Hello? Hello?
He suddenly feels spooked and looks behind him.
Why, hello! Sorry, I didn't mean to startle you.
It's all right.
Can I help you?
I hope so. I'm looking for a room and a gas station.
Well, rooms we got. Gas stations, we're fresh out of.
Why did I have a feeling you might say that?
There were was a big place. Not much left either. Still want a room?
Yeah.
Then follow me. Sign the register first, if you please. You come a long way?
Oh, it's been a longer trip than you can imagine.
Just sign here, and then we'll get you up to your room.
The corridors are decorated with pictures of Wild West heroes, and the lights are flickering.
This is the only hotel in town, but you won't do better. Beds are soft, and linen's clean.
Wow, electricity and running water.
Oh, sure. We've even got our own ghost.
I don't believe in ghosts.
They all say that. Dinner's at 8. Yell if you need anything.
Danny studies the lamp outside his room as it flickers strangely. Then he discounts it and enters the old and quaintly furbished bedroom. He feels a presence in the room as the shadow of a gunfighter crosses the wall, but he takes a deep breath and calms himself.
Get a grip, Danny. Get a grip.
Ugh. He lies back on the bed and makes himself comfortable in the pillows. He then grows contemplative as he pulls out a photo from his wallet. The back is signed with "My Love Always, Mom," and the picture is of Emily Meeks, the same as the one in Emily's office.
My love always.
He closes his eyes and falls into a deep sleep. As he begins dreaming, the shadow of the Stetson-hatted gunfighter appears on the wall again. While still fast asleep, the ghost of Lucius Meeks materializes and stands at the side of Danny's bed. Lucius looks down despondently at the sleeping young man, then turns and paces sadly to the window. Danny opens an eye and sees the back of a man dressed in a greatcoat down to his ankles, framed against the daylight. He is instantly awake and recoils in fear.
Who are you? Can you see me?
Of course I can see you. How'd you get in here?
The ghost looks mystified.
Can you see me?
Lucius moves closer to the petrified boy, so Danny attempts to leap away, but bangs his head and passes out.
Idiot.
While downstairs...
Yes, but he works for Diller, Graham. How could you let him stay here?
Because he seems like a nice fellow. Anyway, I gave him the Mississippi room.
Grant.
He's rather good looking, don't you think?
Grant, don't start that again. You know, I'm quite happy on my own. I don't need complications in my life right now.
I know, sweetie, but I do worry about you. If anything should happen to me, you'll be alone.
Grant, I can take care of myself.
With the light still flickering, Danny stumbles down the stairs into the saloon, holding his head, and he bumps into Kate.
Speak of the devil.
And up she pops.
I live here, all right? You're the guest, so be civil or be poisoned.
Oh, you're the cook?
No, actually, Granny is.
Oh, thank God for that.
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing. It just means that you can stay the hell away from me, all right?
Yeah, well, that suits me just fine.
Fine.
Good.
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 Kate storms off as Gran arrives.
What happened to you?
Oh, I just bumped my head. I had a nightmare.
Can I get you something to drink?
Yeah, sure, that'd be great.
Suddenly, all the lights go out and they are plunged into darkness.
Now what?
Gran?
No, I'm fine. Get the fuses. I'll light some candles.
All right.
Can I help? I said, can I help?
No, we can manage.
You sure?
Well, you could help change the fuses.
Yeah. No problem. Where are they?
Over there.
Okay, where?
Okay, right here.
He helps Kate carry the tall stepladder, and she slams it down on his toe and smirks. She then traps his fingers in the ladder's hinges.
What?
Do you want me to do it?
No. I don't want you to do it.
Okay, the fuse box is right up there.
Really? Is that why we put the ladder here?
Okay, you're gonna have to stand on the top step.
I realize that. Will you give me a chance to get up there? All right, now hold it still. It gets wobbly up here. Here, hold it still. This ladder's...
All right, don't be such a baby. I'm gonna have to get that.
No, no, Kate, just stay there. Just leave the phone alone.
I'll be right back.
Kate?
She runs off and leaves him wobbling at the top of the precariously balanced ladder, 4 meters in the air. He tries to steady himself and grabs the fuse box and nearly rips it from the wall. A ghostly whirlwind whips up around him and blows the ladders and his body through an enormous plate glass mirror. Danny lands in a heap inside a secret disused office hidden behind the wall.
Who said that?
Lucius's ghost appears and calmly lights Cheroot.
I said, it's about time.
Danny stares, goggle-eyed at the apparition, but Lucius moves and Danny bolts and collides with a chair.
Boom.
Ah! Ouch.
That had to hurt. You're gonna have to stop crashing into things, son.
Lucius moves forward and corners the boy against the far wall. Danny just stares incredulously back.
Who are you?
Can't you read, boy? There's a big old sign out there says who I am. You just busted in on my office.
It's my head. I banged my head. All right, you have a concussion, Danny. You have a concussion. Either that or you're going crazy, damn it.
Don't say that.
Damn it.
I said don't.
Why? You're not even real. I can say... Just leave me alone.
I would if I could, believe me. But I need help. Even your help.
My help? Why?
Because I'm cursed. Why else? Cursed to wander the nether regions. Stuck between life and death, never to find peace in this world or the next, cursed to silently watch as life goes on around me. Until I've righted a wrong, that is.
This is crazy. Why me?
Danny? Danny?
Lucius vanishes into thin air.
Gran, quick!
The lights come back on.
Damn it.
I said stop saying that.
Kate runs up to the hole in the wall.
I'll be damned. Ah. Danny! Danny!
I'm here. I'm over here.
What happened?
What happened? You let go of the ladder?
What?
You let go of the ladder and I fell.
Oh, so this is my fault?
Yes.
My goodness, what happened?
He wrecks the place, pulls down half the wall, and has the gall to blame me.
I didn't
see?
No, I mean, I didn't blame you.
Oh, never mind about that. Danny, are you okay?
Yeah, I think I am, yeah. Will you just give me a hand out of here?
Kate and Gran spread a tablecloth over the broken glass for Danny to climb back through the hole.
Be careful. You klutz! Do you know how valuable that mirror is? Was? It was over 100 years old. It's irreplaceable.
I appreciate your concern, Kate. Did you see him?
Who?
The ghost.
What?
I better see to that cut of yours. I think you must have hit your head harder than you think you did.
Grant, do you know whose room this was?
No, not at all.
It was Lucius Meek's office.
Oh, and how do you know?
He told me.
Kate intimates to Gran that he's insane. Later, out in the old, disused garage, Danny sets about fixing the front wheel of his bike.
Unbelievable. I almost get myself killed, and all I get is, well, that mirror is valuable. All right, Danny. Get a grip. Get a grip, Danny, before you start seeing werewolves, too.
While straining to hold the wheel upright, he tries to stretch out for a spanner which is just out of reach. The spanner magically floats through the air and taps him on the shoulder.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Lucius is standing over him.
Oh, for goodness sake. Relax. I'm not gonna hurt you. Why would I hurt you? I told you, I need your help.
What for?
Catch the bad guys, save the town, get the girl, and lift the curse that haunts me.
So, what's it got to do with me? Bad guys mean trouble I don't need. This town I hate, and the girl you can keep.
Now that you don't mean.
Damn right I do.
Lucius blows smoke at him.
Do you have to blow that in my face? Haven't you ever heard of cancer?
Yeah, I've heard of it. I died of it. And I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah, well, I do, so don't blow it on me. Look, I'm gonna fix my bike, and I'm out of here.
I can't believe you're gonna leave a helpless old lady and her innocent granddaughter to the mercy of Emily Meeks and her thugs.
Yeah, innocent. Boy, she got you fooled. If I was you, I'd be concerned about Emily's safety, not Kate's.
Well, she likes you.
Oh, yeah, right. Take a look at me. I look like I've gone 10 rounds with Tyson.
Well, you know the old saying. We hurt the most the ones we love.
Give me a break.
What about me? How will I lift this curse if you leave?
So now we're getting down to it. This isn't about Kate and her gran. It's about you.
That's not true.
Oh, no? Would you have helped them when you were alive?
Lucius remembers.
I didn't think so. Whatever you did to get your curse, I'm sure you deserved it. I'm gonna fix my bike and leave.
Lucius ponders before reacting.
Why, you chicken-livered ball of cat spit. You're running away. You haven't got the guts to stay and fight. Poor little Danny better run home to mommy.
That's enough!
Danny lunges at him, but goes straight through and falls over.
Will you even fight like a mama's boy?
You better leave my mama out of this!
Danny flings a spanner at the ghost, but it flies harmlessly through him.
I'm leaving.
Fine. Where are we going?
What?
I said, where are we going?
Oh, no. We're not going anywhere. I'm going, you're staying.
Oh, no. If you leave, I'm doomed to stay like this forever. So I might as well go with you and make your life a living hell.
You wouldn't dare.
Try me. Sounds like your girlfriend needs a little help.
She's not my girlfriend.
Emily Meeks and her thugs have Kate and Gran captive in the saloon.
Take the money.
No!
$25,000? It's more money than you'll ever see. Think what you could buy.
Forget it, Emily. We're going nowhere.
$30,000, that's my final offer.
We're not scared of you, Emily, or these two morons.
Yeah? Well, you should be. You show them where they should be.
Ox is a giant of a man, and he clicks his knuckles, then walks menacingly to a table where there are two rifles. He lifts one and cocks it, while Kate and Gran look petrified. But Ox discards the rifle with a sneer. Instead, he bends and snaps the table in two like pulling a wishbone on a chicken, and is left holding two lengths of wood. He lumbers towards the two frightened women, who back towards the bar. He wields a table leg like an axe and smashes a lamp into smithereens just above Kate and Gran's heads.
Hey! Hey!
Danny!
Danny?
That's enough!
You stay out of this, boy.
Lucius appears lighting another cheroot, and Danny is encouraged.
I can't do that.
Emily, you stop this right now.
Then you take the cash.
It's all right, Gran. I can handle these two.
Sully, get rid of him.
As Sully swings a table leg at Danny, Danny ducks and then punches the little man to the ground. Ox then lifts his club over his head, but the ghost pulls it back. Surprised by the giant's strength, he pulls harder, and as they stagger backwards, both gripping the table leg, Danny lands a punch, but with zero effect. Ox is wrestling with the invisible force, and the others look on bemused as the Man Mountain appears to be dancing all over the saloon, jerking the table leg around. Ox and Lucius then propel each other around and round in a circle. Sully returns to the fray and aims a blow at Danny, but he ducks and rolls across the floor. Ox and Lucius are now whirling in a dizzying, accelerating spin. Lucius lets go and staggers off drunkenly through the wall, but Danny is now having to defend himself with a metal bowl. Ox runs at Danny and swings at him, but the boy ducks, and Sully is unfortunately clubbed clean through the window. Ox returns his attention to attempting to decapitate Danny, who is now crawling around the floor like a demented mouse, making futile use of chairs and tables as barriers.
Get him, Ox! Get him!
Ox swings and clears a table, so Danny grabs the tablecloth and waves it like a matador. Kate clobbers Emily with a metal dish, then Lucius staggers back in, still dizzy from the spinning. Ox has Danny cornered now, but as he raises a chair over his head, Lucius sneaks up and undoes the giant's trousers. Kate flings the metal dish at him but misses and knocks Danny out.
Oops.
Ox's trousers fall to the floor, and as he stoops to retrieve them, Gran picks up a heavy plant pot and smashes it over the thug's head. Ox reels, and then keels over.
Most fun I've had in 100 years.
Later, Danny is still unconscious, but Kate is lovingly stroking his head as Lucius appears and Danny comes too.
Oh, my head.
Shh, lie still.
Ox. Where's Ox?
Gone.
He's gone?
Yes, gone. You were wonderful.
Told you she liked you.
Shut up.
Sorry, I just wanted to thank you for your help.
Oh, no, not... I'm sorry, I wasn't,
Lucius smirks at the boy's discomfort.
I was, Are you all right? Yeah?
Danny stands up shakily.
Oh, my head. What hit me?
Actually, I did. It was an accident. I was trying to help.
Thanks. Ever since I've gotten to this town, I've been dodging bullwhips, crashing bikes, fighting morons, chasing ghosts.
Well, it's partly your own fault, you know. I mean, you're the one who works for Diller.
What's that got to do with it?
Emily's selling this town to Diller, and she wants us out.
I didn't know that. Sorry. Listen, I'm just a part-time consultant, you know? They brought me in to survey the mines, find out how deep they are. Why don't you and your grandma just take the money and run? It doesn't seem like a whole lot in this town holding you back.
Why should we? I mean, our family founded this town.
She She's right. They did.
And then the thieving Meeks came in and stole the lot.
It wasn't quite like that.
So Lucius was a thief?
Yes.
No.
Tell me more.
Well, the town was founded by my great-great-grandfather, Joshua Carter. He came here during the gold rush, and he struck it rich selling equipment to miners. He built this town. He was the one who called it Liberty.
In flashback, 100 years ago, the town was a thriving community with wagons, horses, and townsfolk all bustling through the busy main street. Joshua, handsome and debonair in his smart, fashionable suit, steps out of his general store and waves at his beautiful fiancée, Isabel, farther down the street.
Grant says he did it all for the woman he loved.
He crosses the street to greet her, smiling broadly, and they kiss.
He was really happy until a sharpshooting competition brought Lucius Meeks to Liberty. Everything changed.
A bunch of tough-looking horsemen ride into town in a cloud of dust, and at their head is Lucius in his customary Stetson and greatcoat and smoking a cheroot.
For the worse.
Damn right. Lucius and his men moved into this very saloon. Started shooting up the town, bullying, corrupting, claim jumping. You name it. Everything short of murder.
The saloon is the scene of wild revelry, with drunken cowboys firing guns at will. Danny stares earnestly into Kate's eyes, while the ghost of Lucius is listening intently.
Then Lucius goaded Joshua into betting everything he owned on the outcome of the shooting competition. The loser was to ride out of town and never come back.
And why on earth would Joshua have done that?
Because someone in the town had to stop Lucius from taking over. He was willing to risk everything he had in order to save what he'd built. And to make it worse, Lucius was trying to steal Isabel away from Joshua, even though she wouldn't have anything to do with him.
And I guess Joshua lost the contest.
Yeah, but Joshua was a man of honor.
Yeah, right.
He had no choice except to call Lucius out for a real gunfight.
Which he also lost.
He lost the bet. He should have left.
It's even worse than that. In a jealous rage, Lucius also killed Isabel. And with no one left to stop him, he laid claim to the town and everything in it.
Which now leaves you and Gran to the tender mercies of Emily. There's got to be something that we can do.
No, we've tried and tried, but we can't prove anything. The only thing that would help us is if we found the original deeds. But when Lucius took over, he hid them so no one could dispute his claim. I don't think there's a corner of this town I haven't looked in or under to find them.
Kate leaves Danny alone with the ghost.
I'm gonna make some coffee.
Okay.
How history lies. She got it all wrong.
Yeah, I bet. But we'll never know, will we?
Wanna know what happened? I'll show you what happened.
Lucius walks purposefully towards Danny and melts into his body. Danny is propelled back in time to witness Lucius's story.
Wait. Where are we?
Liberty. In 1878. You wanted to know what happened? Here it is. See for yourself.
Take me back, Lucius.
A horse and rider nearly run Danny over.
At a time, but you're real. I'm the ghost.
You take me back, Lucius, right now.
Look.
Isabel leaves the general's store, loaded with parcels, and collides with Lucius.
That's how we met.
The parcels tumble, and as Lucius kneels to help Isabel recover them, their eyes meet, and there is immediate chemistry. Joshua approaches brusquely.
Get your hands off her.
The two men stare at each other venomously.
Yeah.
Lucius simply smiles and walks away, while Isabel stares yearningly at his retreating figure, and Joshua is left fuming with his dark thoughts.
I don't understand.
You will.
Oh, no. Oh, no, Lucius, no! No! No!
Again, the ghost melts into Danny's body, and they materialize in the countryside, where the old Lucius and Isabel have a secret love tryst. The cowboy playfully tries to grab her. He catches her by the waist, and pulling her close, they kiss passionately.
We were in love. Why would I have shot her?
Because she was supposed to marry someone else. And you were jealous that she wouldn't leave him.
Never.
Once more, the ghost morphs into Danny, and they return to the present day.
We're back. No. No, you take me back there. You show me more, Lucius. You show me the end.
Danny! Coffee's getting cold.
Lucius disappears.
Danny? Danny, you all right? You look a little shook up.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Back at the museum, Emily and her henchmen are nursing their bruises.
His name's Danny.
I know who he is, you idiot. What's he doing here?
He's working for Diller, a survey in the mine.
Ox, I want you to go and see Diller, and I want you to get him fired. Sully, I want you to keep an eye on the saloon. I want to know where they go. I want to know what they do, and I want to know when they breathe.
The saloon?
Yeah, the saloon.
Sully, his head bandaged, looks taken aback.
What? The saloon, boss. I don't think... I mean, what happened there wasn't right.
Wasn't right?
Yeah, boss. The saloon is kind of spooky. Haunted.
Oh.
Emily pretends to humor them.
I don't believe it. Two grown men afraid of their own shadows. Well, let me give you something else to worry about. If Kate finds out what we plan to do with those fake deeds before we sign with Dilla, not only will you two say goodbye to your share of the $6 million, but you will spend the next 20 years of your life behind bars.
She storms off.
I'll head on down to the saloon then.
They spring into action and are spotted in the street by Danny and Lucius from the hotel balcony.
Where are those biscuit heads off to?
Who knows? Wherever it is, it won't be good for us.
Us?
I don't have a choice, do I?
I guess not.
Danny cackles sarcastically, then goes to meet Kate in the secret office.
Thanks.
Sure. So, did you see anything in here yet?
Not yet. Most of it's just junk. Just letters. newspapers, catalogs. Now, I don't think he ever threw anything away.
No, except maybe his life.
What about you?
Me? I'm not throwing my life away.
No, I mean, I know nothing about you. Why you're here, why you're helping us.
Well, it's a long story.
I've got all day.
Kate gazes longingly at him, and Danny falls under her spell.
I'm looking for my mother and my father. I was adopted when I was a kid, and it never really bothered me that they weren't my real parents, but last year when my old man died,
She moves closer to him.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I mean, they were great people, you know. They had a great life. And they were older when they adopted me anyway, so.
But you miss them?
She caresses his arm.
Very much.
They move closer to kiss.
Kate. Great timing. Coming.
Gran pops her head through the hole in the wall and grins knowingly at the young couple. Danny climbs through the opening, then turns and helps Kate down, and they stand awkwardly in each other's arms while Gran watches with an inscrutable smile.
Find anything?
Not really. Most of it's just junk.
They sit at the table.
Here, have a look.
Danny hands out papers from an old wooden box. Outside, Sully is ferreting around. He climbs the stairs to the balcony and peers through the window down at the little group having coffee.
I don't believe it.
What?
It's Lucius's diary. Listen to this. It's been 6 weeks since Isabel passed on. I feel as if a dark hole has opened in me and swallowed everything. Passed on? That's a good one. He shot her.
Did he? I mean, can we be sure of that? Go ahead and read on a little bit, see if it says anything else.
I don't have to. Lucius was a Meeks and they're all the same. Always have been, always will be.
Not all, Kate. Emily was a lovely young girl.
Was is right.
Don't judge till life gives you some lessons in sympathy, girl. You never knew her father. He was a real Meeks. Never knew a day when he didn't terrorize someone into doing something he should not or didn't wanna.
Sounds like a chip off the old block.
A sudden angry gust of wind blows dust through the swing doors and scatters the papers on their table.
I think you've upset someone.
Pretty little thing she was, and a beautiful young woman. She used to hang out with your pa, I recall, and Abe Williams' boy. Oh, them two were as tight as can be until they crashed Abe's car. The boy died. Nothing was the same after that. Then one day, she must have been about 19, I recall. She ups and leaves without a by your leave.
Where'd she go?
California, I think. Then England. Her daddy said growing up around here was no place for a lady. He wanted his little girl to have a real education. Seems like the town started to die right around then.
I won't let them destroy this town, Gran. It's all you've got.
Oh, no, sweetie. I got you. But for all that, this town shouldn't be turned into a firing range. Too many people loved it. And died for it.
But if it's finished, I mean, if everything's closed, why keep it going? Why not let it die with dignity?
Typical. Worried you're gonna get fired?
No, not worried I'm gonna get fired. I was wondering why you wanna save this town so much.
Because this town is part of our heritage. It's one of the last remaining frontier towns in the West. People love this place. They could make it work if they were just given a chance.
This paper's got a list of claim numbers on it. Maybe one's to do with the land this town stands on.
Here, let me have a look at that.
See, I don't understand why Lucius would have hid the deeds in the first place. It doesn't make sense.
What do you mean?
I mean, he would want them, right? To support his claim?
Okay, what are you saying?
Saying that what if it wasn't Lucius who hid them? What if it was Joshua or a friend of Joshua's after he died to stop Lucius?
Okay, but even if you're right, it doesn't help us find them.
Maybe not. But if you were a friend of Joshua's and you wanted to stop Lucius, where would you hide them? Someplace Lucius never found them, someplace you never found them. Someplace no one would think to look. Think about it. You're a friend of Joshua's. You're upset. You know about the bet. You know Lucius is going to push until he takes what he thinks is his. You know Joshua's not going to back down. What do you do with him?
Kate thinks for a second.
I'd bury them.
Danny's eyes light up.
You're kidding, right? In Joshua's grave?
Could be.
Yeah, but even if someone did bury them, we can't just dig them up. Can we?
I don't really see what other option we've got. I mean, you've looked everywhere else. Do you know where Joshua was buried?
In the town cemetery. But I think we should let the dead rest in peace.
I think if we sort this whole mess out, the dead will find some peace. Don't you?
The ghost creeps up behind Sully and spooks him.
So when do we do it?
What you looking at?
Huh? Tonight.
What was that?
Sully has fallen downstairs in terror. Sully then runs off screaming. That night, Danny goes searching in the garage.
What you looking for?
Danny is startled and bangs his head yet again.
Where is it?
What?
The deed. Don't play dumb. Where's the deed?
Well, if what you just told him is true, I wouldn't know, would I? To lift the curse, I've got to persuade a direct descendant to give back what I had...
stole?
Acquired.
Acquired. Yeah, right. Either way, you've got no chance because Emily's not going to give back anything.
No, I never thought she would.
And Kate and her grand, same thing.
Well, they're not my descendants.
Well, then it looks like you're flat out of luck.
Danny leaves, but Lucius smirks.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Danny approaches the truck where Kate has found a torch.
Hey.
Hey.
You have one?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Danny, are you sure about this?
No, but it will take me a while to dig up that grave, so there's no sense in you just sitting around. Any information you can get on those claim numbers might help us if the deed's not in the grave.
Okay. Well, I'll have my phone if you need me, so
okay.
Good luck.
She leans forward, embarrassed, and kisses his cheek. She then climbs into the driver's seat, and Danny smiles warmly and closes the car door. In the dead of night, Danny walks into the cemetery, a spade and a broom over his shoulder. By the light of his torch, he examines the gravestones and finally finds a roughly hewn wooden cross marked with Joshua Carter's name.
No offense, Joshua. Doing this for you.
Lucius materializes again.
Scared of ghosts?
Very funny.
Danny removes the rocks on top of the grave.
You're convinced the deed is in there, then?
No, I'm not. So if you have a better idea, I'd love to hear it.
Lucius shrugs.
Thought not.
Danny begins digging. Across town in the library, Kate is seated in front of a computer terminal, staring intently at the screen. She taps the keyboard furiously, and ploughs through a series of menus until she can access the archive records. The archives load up, and slowly but surely, the land claims numbers and associated information fills the screen. Kate then studies the list found in Lucius's old office and compares the numbers. With no luck there, she tries another tack and types in claim number 266 from the ancient document and asks the computer for a match. The screen replies with record deleted. She tries again, and once more she is told that the record has been deleted.
Damn.
She then has a brainwave and searches the records for the name Meeks. After a few agonizing seconds, she is rewarded with the desired information.
Yes.
At Boot Hill, Danny is now deep in the grave and still digging.
Oh, come on. Doesn't give you the right to steal someone else's wife.
Emily and her two henchmen steal into the cemetery and spy on Danny.
Oh, shoot. Shh. Yeah, you just sit there, huh? Only rest for the dead, huh?
Who's I talking to?
Sorry.
Let's get closer so we can hear.
Shh. Lucius, who are you convincing, me or yourself? Love. Love, right. So that gives you the right to destroy someone else's life?
Emily and Ox exchange bemused looks as Danny appears to be talking to himself.
You're too young to understand.
I think I understand perfectly, actually. Lucius has to get what Lucius wants. And to hell with anyone else. Even those he says he loves.
What makes you so different, huh? Are you doing this to help Kate and her grand? Or to find out who your mother is? Maybe it's the best way to get the girl.
Yes.
You and I aren't so different.
The thugs approach the grave.
Drew, hand me the broom. Quick, give me that broom.
Sully passes Danny the broom.
Thanks.
Don't mention it.
Danny sees Emily looking down at him and chides his ghostly mentor.
Thanks for the warning.
Don't mention it.
The gang cast their eyes around for his invisible friend.
Excuse me?
What do you want?
Want? Oh, you're such a dear boy. Thank you for asking, but I have all I want. I'm here to make sure that I keep it. And that includes whatever's in that coffin.
Doesn't belong to you.
Really?
Danny bends and examines the now open coffin.
Is it there?
You know, lady, you want it, you come down and get it yourself.
Emily coolly pulls out a revolver and points it at Danny.
Out of there.
Danny surrenders, and as he climbs from the grave, Ox hauls him to his feet.
Ox, hang on to him. Sully?
Yeah?
See if the D's are there.
Emily sends Sully flying into the grave to land face down on the skeleton.
Me? Get on with it.
Sully reluctantly feels about in the coffin. Danny sees Lucius appear next to Sully and realizes that the other still can't see the ghost.
Anything?
No. Just a lot of rags and bones.
We'll check up by the skull.
Huh?
Come on, we haven't got all night.
Watch this.
Lucius puts his boot on the skull and moves his foot back and forth. The three crooks see the skeletal head rock from side to side, and they scream. Danny stamps Ox's toe, and as the giant hops, he topples into the grave and knocks out himself and Sully. Emily pulls her gun, but Lucius clonks her with a spade, and she in turn falls in the grave on top of Ox.
Nighty-night. Don't let the bedbugs bite.
Kate is still working at the library, and out of the archives comes a story about the Meeks, with a headline proclaiming teenage car crash.
Bingo.
She prints out the document and begins taking notes. At Boot Hill, Danny has the gun and the upper hand. The two men are filling in the grave under Emily's supervision, while Lucius is watching from a distance.
So tell me why you're such a nasty lady.
I'm not. Just making sure I keep what's mine, that's all.
Must be a family trait. Doesn't it matter to you who else gets hurt?
Why should it? You know, my father, he taught me a long time ago that only the strong win. And we Meeks are strong.
And yeah, what a jerk he was.
What about your conscience? Doesn't your conscience bother you? Don't you have any regrets?
You have no idea what I regret, and my conscience is my business. You know, life is not a bowl of cherries.
Danny just stares back, unmoved.
It's a rather large bowl of pits. Sometimes you have to make choices. You have to do things you don't want to do, and you have to live with the consequences. Now I'm going home.
He lets her sweep past and away. Lucius now plays a trick on Emily's heavies by turning an ornamental urn on a nearby grave. They see it revolve of its own accord, and they bolt.
Oh, don't run off. The night's still young.
Next morning, Danny and Kate are breaking into Emily's office.
Are you sure about this?
Yes. You just keep watch, okay?
He tries the window with a jemmy.
Danny, this is pointless. I mean, if Emily did have anything which would lead us to the deeds, she would have found them already.
Lucius unlocks the window catch.
Thanks.
No, I'm not being negative. It's just, I'm trying to be realistic.
You're in. Let's go.
Great.
He pushes the sash up and helps Kate in.
Here, hold that.
Danny follows her in, but at the hotel, Emily is out burgling too. She and Sully have found Lucius's secret office. Sully climbs through the wall and crashes to the floor.
Oh, can you help me? Come on, help me.
Sully helps Emily through the hole, and as they survey the eerie, dusty office, Sully clings to her for comfort.
Spooky.
Emily disentangles herself from his nervous grip.
What exactly am I looking for, boss?
Can you talk any louder?
What exactly am I looking...
Any clue? Anything that will help us find the real date while you go.
Sully steps on the torch and skids across the floor. At the museum, Kate and Danny are rifling through Emily's filing cabinets. Growing more impatient, Kate begins ploughing through paperwork on the desk and accidentally knocks the framed picture of Emily and her baby on the floor.
There's nothing here.
Kate looks to heaven for inspiration, and her gaze alights upon the huge painting of Lucius on the wall. She smiles broadly.
What are you thinking?
Safe?
Let's take a look. Ready?
Yeah.
They remove the painting and there is the safe.
Bingo!
But Ox is returning in the truck, and as he parks outside the museum, inside Emily's office, Danny has his ear pressed against the safe, attempting to crack the combination. Lucius tries giving him a warning.
Come.
Shh. I didn't say anything.
The young couple hear the front door slam.
Told you.
Come here, quick. Get down.
The ghost calmly picks a driver from a golf bag and addresses an imaginary ball. As Ox galumphs in, Lucius lets swing with the golf club.
Hey, what are you?
And catches the giant right between the legs. Ox falls to his knees, his eyes popping, and Danny props him up on a chair.
Thanks!
How did you do that?
It's a long story.
Go ahead. Why don't you just tell her?
Shut up.
Huh?
Nothing. I was talking to him.
Who?
Lucius. Or Lucius's ghost.
Oh, boy. Now you've done it.
What?
He's standing right next to you with a stupid grin on his face.
Kate stares right through where Lucius is standing.
I don't see anybody.
Lucius nips her bottom and she slaps Danny.
Watch it!
Hey! Hey, leave her alone. Pass me the rope.
Maybe I'll just let her think you're a nutcase.
Will you cut it out?
What did I do?
I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to him.
Who?
Pass the rope.
Kate is dumbstruck as, unable to see Lucius passing it, the rope moves from the wall and into Danny's hands.
You owe me, pal.
At the hotel, Gran has heard a noise.
Kate?
She approaches the hole in the wall.
Nothing! Absolute rubbish, all of it. Let's go.
Sully and Gran's faces meet, and they both faint. At the bank, Ox is now tied up.
Come on, let's get out of here.
Okay.
Danny steps on the photo frame dropped earlier. Picking it up, he instantly recognizes the woman in the picture as his mother. He looks to Lucius, but the spirit obviously already knows the truth.
Danny, you okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm coming.
Danny pockets the photo and follows Kate to return home. At the hotel, Emily is having to revive Sully with a jug of cold water.
What happened?
You fainted, moron.
Sully looks through the hole and sees Gran lying on the floor.
Oh, it's her! I thought it was...
I know what you thought. Let's get out of here now.
Sully crawls through the wall and follows his boss home. Not long after, Kate and Danny return to find the old lady coming too.
Gran? Gran! Are you all right?
I must have fainted.
Oh, fainted? Come here. Let's get her up. Come here, come here. Sit here.
What happened?
I saw Sully and Emily.
Emily? That's it. This time she's gone too far.
Wait, Kate, hey, slow down a minute. Let's let Grant finish. Let's find out what happened first.
As I was saying, Sully and Emily were in the office. I didn't know, and why did I get a fright when I saw them? I must have fainted.
See, this time she's gonna pay. I'm getting my gun.
Gun? Hey, come on now. Don't be stupid, Kate. Guns don't solve anything.
Listen to him. He's right, Kate.
Come on, calm down, all right? Don't do something you're gonna regret. It's exactly what she wants. And Gran is fine. Somebody even made her comfortable. I don't think Emily wanted to hurt her.
Don't be stupid. Of course Emily wanted to hurt her. What do you think this is about, huh? I mean, we stand in her way and she'll do whatever it takes to get us out. And I'm not going without a fight. Come on, Gran. Let's go. Get you to your room. Make you some mint tea, all right?
Kate half carries Gran upstairs, leaving Danny looking frustrated. Minutes later, Kate brings a tray of tea to Gran in bed.
Are you feeling better?
Good. You'll chase him away if you don't curb that temper of yours.
I don't care.
You do.
Gran, why did he have to take her side?
He didn't. All he was doing was trying to stop you from doing something foolish. He cares about you.
Do you really think so?
And you don't. Oh, go on. Go and give him a big kiss and make up.
Grand?
Alone at the bar, Danny peeks in Kate's bag, and on finding the printout of the news story of the teenage car crash, he begins reading aloud.
Involved in a car crash, I'm old. Heading out of town. Emily Meeks escaped the ordeal with a few minor injuries, but her boyfriend, not...
What's it say?
Kate stops on the stairs to listen.
It's about Emily.
Oh? And?
It says here that when she was a teenager, she was in a car crash. And her boyfriend died.
I'm sorry. A boy should know his parents. Good or bad.
Kate has crept in, still holding the tea tray.
You think she left me because my father died?
She's your mother? Emily's your mother?
I think so.
You think so? And just when were you gonna tell me about your suspicions, huh? Or is it none of my business?
No, I would have said something as soon as I was sure. I mean, what difference does it make?
Leave me alone. Wait, is that why we went to her office? So you could find out who you are?
Partly, yes.
I've been so stupid. What else are you hiding? What else are you not telling me?
Nothing.
You're lying.
I'm not lying.
You want the deeds for yourself, don't you? So you can sell the land. That's why you sent me to the library.
Come on, Kate. Now you are being stupid.
Am I? It's very convenient you turn up now. Long lost son to claim his inheritance. You make me sick.
I make you sick? How about you, little Miss High and Mighty Self-Righteous Carter? Last in a long line of whining losers. You know what? At least the Meeks aren't afraid to go after what they want. They're not afraid to live. They don't sit around thinking the world owes them a favor.
She slaps him again and storms off indignantly.
Boy, you sure got away with women.
Drop dead.
In the garage, Danny is packed and ready to leave, but Lucius appears in front of him.
Out of my way.
So you're running away?
Just move. I'll drive right through you.
I'll move. After you hear what I have to say.
Not interested.
Lucius moves forward and takes the ignition keys.
Don't do it, Danny. Don't let your pride get the best of you. Let me give you the benefit of 130 years of regret. It was pride that made me stay when I could have left. Even if it wasn't me who shot her. It was my pride that killed Isabel. It's up to you.
Lucius holds the keys aloft. Danny remains stone-faced and calmly takes the keys and sets off. He stops outside on catching sight of Kate looking down from the hotel balcony in tears. Unable to conquer her pride or even speak, she turns her back. Danny accelerates away into the darkness, but out on the main street, Lucius has other ideas. Standing like a gunslinger, he faces the oncoming bike, and as Danny rides into him, he is swallowed up again and swept back in time with the ghost. The bike careers into a barn, then explodes and fills the sky with a fountain of flames, and Kate, watching from the hotel, can't believe her eyes.
Danny! No!
Danny picks himself up.
Thanks for dropping in.
Very funny. You cannot keep doing this. What are we doing here?
The 8th of May. 1878, the day the devil came to call. You wanted to know how it ended? You want to see where pride'll get you?
Lucius grabs Danny and leads him away.
Look,
The torchlight procession of townsfolk has led Joshua to confront Lucius in the duel on the main street. The two men square up to each other.
Stop this, Lucius.
I can't.
You try.
I have. 1,000 times.
Danny stares disbelievingly as Isabel runs up to Joshua.
No! Kane. Joshua. Please, come home. Please, it's not worth it.
No, Isabel.
I'll marry you just like you wanted.
It's too late for that.
We'll start again somewhere.
You can stop this, Lucius. You can stop this. Nobody has to die.
Aren't you listening to me? I can't stop it. I didn't shoot Isabel. Josh did. Even if I don't fire, Isabel still dies.
Then leave it to the law.
What law? Frank, take her.
No, go. Get her out of here. Get her out of here. Go.
No!
This is the real curse. Watching this over and over with no way to end it.
Leave or die, Lucius.
Don't talk. Draw.
You can watch it if you want, but I'm gonna do something about it.
Lucius, no!
Isabel, no! No! No!
Danny dives out. He is shot instead of Isabel. The ghost enters Lucius's body and purposefully lowers his gun. Joshua shoots, and as Lucius falls to the ground, Danny looks up.
Lucius.
And watches Lucius die. History has been rewritten, and Isabel embraces Joshua. Danny loses consciousness, but back in present day, Kate is trying to revive him.
Danny. Danny. Danny, are you all right?
Huh? What? What happened?
You crashed your bike.
What?
You crashed and your bike exploded.
Ox and Sully are pouring water on the fire.
Emily pulled you clear. She saved your life.
Emily approaches them.
How is he?
I think you'll be fine.
Thanks.
Emily lowers her eyes, lost for words, but hands Danny the photograph he stole from her. He then opens his wallet and compares the two identical pictures.
I never thought I'd see you again. When my father made me give you up, I really thought I would die.
Danny stares open-mouthed at his mother.
I'm so sorry for all the pain I must have caused, but I'll make it up to you, I promise.
Danny suddenly finds a small roll of paper in his wallet.
Look.
What is it?
He unties the scroll.
It's the deed.
Where did you find it?
Lucius, we did it. We did it, Kate. This is Lucius' way of telling us that we lifted the curse. Nobody died.
Danny, you're concussed.
No, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm gonna go help put out the fire.
Why bother? She's just gonna destroy the town anyway.
She can't. This deed, it proves that the land is yours, Gran. Kate, this land is yours.
Yeah, but she'll fight it.
Not necessarily. We can try to make it work.
We?
Yeah, we.
After all you've done, after everything you've put us through, you expect us to trust you?
Have you any idea what it is like to wake up every single morning of your life and know that you have wasted it? To have lost everyone you've ever loved.
Was my father the one who died in the car?
We were young. Oh, but we were so in love. We knew my father would never have approved, so we ran away to get married. And then on the way back,
When my father discovered that I was pregnant, he sent me away and he arranged for you to be adopted. No one ever knew. And I wasn't in any fit state to fight him. I let you down. And I will never forgive myself.
Maybe I can forgive.
I've made some very terrible mistakes. But we have a chance here at a new beginning. Let's not waste it.
Danny turns to Kate.
Is this what you said you wanted? Chance to see this town rebuild? See it prosper again? Maybe we can build our own future. Free of the past, free of these silly feuds.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yes.
Kate joyously flings her arms around Danny and they hold each other tight. Danny then turns to Emily and holds out his arms. They embrace and both luxuriate in the joy of being made whole again, the love of a mother and son reunited. A ghostly image of a horseback rider appears in the sky and they all look up and smile in recognition. Lucius, his spirit finally released, looks down for the last time, then waves goodbye.
Bye, Lucius. Thanks.
The end.